You're listening to 91.3 WYSO on WYSO.org and NPR One. There's a headstone in Cape Cod Cemetery that features a Wright flyer. It's the grave of James Clifford Turpin, a Dayton native who was once a star pilot of the Wright Company's exhibition team. Turpin and his fellow aviation pioneers helped to bring flight to the whole country, but it's likely you've never heard of him. And once his flying career ended, he never spoke of his adventures. Commentator Paul Glenshaw has his story.
In 1910, the Wright brothers and lots of other airplane manufacturers badly wanted to create a market for flying machines. But they had a major obstacle to overcome. Their airplanes actually couldn't do much. In fact, the first real commercial use for the airplane was entertainment. Although the Wright brothers regarded show business with disdain, they knew they needed to promote their invention in order to compete. People, lots of them, would pay just to see them fly. In the spring of 1910, they started what they called their exhibition department, with a motley crew of hurriedly trained young pilots who made their debut in June at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. One of the pilots hadn't even soloed yet and did so in front of 10,000 enraptured spectators. Cliff Turpin decided this was the world for him. He had a degree in engineering from Purdue and became enamored with flight while working for his father's motorcycle business in Dayton. But he trained to fly with another young mechanic named Philip Parmalee. They became best friends and were sent out as fledgling performers to meet their teammates already on the road in the fall of 1910. The air show business was exploding. There were air meets all over the country, flying shows at state fairs, and records to be broken every day. Walter Brookins was the team's first star. He made the first mile-high flight over Atlantic City. Arch Hoxie and Ralph Johnstone were called the Stardust Twins for their ever-escalating altitude competitions. Huge crowds came to the air shows, and the money was very good. But it didn't last. Johnstone and Hoxie were killed in gruesome crashes before the year was out. At the beginning of 1911, a fickle public was growing impatient with simple flights around a racetrack, and their enthusiasm waned. Turpin and Parmalee became the backbone of the team in 1911, and they could still make the headlines like, 20,000 shout as aviators dip in treacherous air, girls try to hug birdmen after death-defying flights, and they were still stars at state fairs. They were having the adventure of their lives. Turpin fell in love, proposing to a young actress with a note on the back of a postcard depicting him and Parmalee flying in Los Angeles. Birds of a feather flock together. Why not join the family, he wrote. Miss Isabel Richards said yes. But the exhibition team became unprofitable, and the Wrights disbanded it after less than 2 years. But Turpin and Parmalee rented 2 airplanes from the Wrights and stayed in Los Angeles, selling rides off Venice Beach, and flying for a film starring Mabel Normand, Siren of the Silver Screen. In May 1912, they went to Washington State in a couple of gauge biplanes. Their adventure came to a crushing close when Turpin, swerving to avoid a photographer on takeoff in Seattle, flew into a grandstand and killed a spectator. The next day, they learned that Wilbur Wright was dead of typhoid fever in Dayton, and the day after that, Parmalee's airplane flipped over in North Yakima and killed him instantly. Turpin retrieved the body, returned it to Parmalee's grieving parents, and never flew again. I met his grandson, who lives near the cemetery where Turpin is buried. He showed me the grave marker and shared his memories of his grandfather. But he could tell me none of Turpin's flying stories. My grandfather never mentioned it, he said. History lost track of Cliff Turpin, who lived long enough to see the airplane used in 2 world wars, jet airliners whisking passengers around the world, and satellites launched into space. Turpin and his Wright teammates helped it all get started. His gravestone is a silent monument to his pioneering role in the rise of flight. For WYSO, I'm Paul Glenshaw.